Good morning. My name is Kyle Blake. I'm the pastor at the Gathering Lutheran Church in downtown Long Beach. It is a pleasure to be here. I know that during the season of Lent, the Gathering, which is down at 9th and Atlantic, and Bethany are partnering. That's why you see me here a little bit more often. This morning, Carl, I call him Pastor Carl. We all know he's a DC, but you know. He's down at the Gathering this morning sharing the good news with those folks. And that's what we're talking about this morning, correct? The good news. In fact, if you would open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we see Paul writing a letter to the church in Rome about this good news. You see, letters in those days, the way that they would work is typically you would, it wouldn't be like Dear John or Dear Sally and then write letter and say sincerely whatever. You would start off with the author. This is who I am. This is who I'm writing to. And I want to give thanks for you. And Paul is not a man of few words. In fact, this is his longest letter. There's 16 chapters of this letter today that we divided into. And Paul, when he even starts this letter to set it all up of what it's about, he kind of pontificates a little bit. From Paul, a doulos of Jesus Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ, a slave of Jesus Christ, one who has been bought by the blood of another, and who is owned by Jesus. I am called to be an apostle, to be a sent one, and appointed to spread the good news of God. He goes on to talk about, I am sent to share this good news which is promised by the prophets, good news which is about the Son, Jesus Christ. The Son is the one who is the descendant of David, the one who's declared the Son of God, the one through whom we receive the kindness of God, and the Son among whom you also are called to belong to Him. Paul is excited about this good news of Jesus. It just like flows out of his pores. It's the good news that brings forgiveness, the good news that brings salvation. This good news is given to all people through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. This is the central message of Scripture. It is the mission that we have as brothers and sisters of Christ to go out and declare, proclaim this good news. That through Christ we've received God's kindness and mercy. Through Him we've received the privilege of being sons and daughters of the King eternal and the promise of eternal life. See, the good news is that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, fully human, so He experienced everything that we've experienced, but yet fully divine, so He was sinless. But Jesus took our sin upon Himself on the cross. And He gave us His righteousness through faith in Him. You see, when God looks at us, He doesn't see our sin. He sees Jesus. God literally takes our sin, takes our slate, our marked up. How many of you guys, when you were in school, like your teacher would write your name? Right? And then they'd put like little check marks or little pin marks, right? The things you did things wrong, right? And you're just like every little mark, you knew if that's like, well, for those of us who are a little bit old, I can actually say this now, right? For those of us who are a little bit older, that might mean beating erasers outside, right? I look at some kids and they're like, what are you talking about, right? Christ literally walks up to that board and every little mark by our name puts a cross. It's like when you're on an airplane, right? And you have that thing that you sleep through, that safety talk at the beginning, right? The one that nobody pays attention to anymore, right? We're all on our phones trying to get that last email out before the door shuts, right? And they talk about this mask that falls down. It's like if the mask falls down in front of us and we put it on and that mask is broke. I can't breathe in this thing, right? And Christ comes along and literally takes the mask off of us and puts His mask on us, and we simply breathe in the air of forgiveness. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And we see in verse 11 of the letter that Paul anxiously wants to come to Rome and to share this good news with the church in Rome, a church that has already heard the good news of Christ, but he wants to share it yet again, to bring to them a spiritual blessing so that the hearers and he are encouraged by the message, by the sharing of good news with each other. You see, Paul has an obligation to share this good news with everyone. He is unashamed to do so. You walk into a store and you see this guy in a brightly orange colored shirt that says, like, "Ask me," right? Have you ever seen that? Walk into a store. Paul's the guy who wears the brightly colored orange shirt and walks down the street and says, "Ask me about the good news." And he doesn't wait for you to ask. Can I tell you something great? Something awesome? That this is for all people. That Jesus loves you. That you're forgiven. Every Sunday we come to church and we hear that. I hope you hear that. I know you hear it here, right? If you don't come here every Sunday or go to the gathering every Sunday, then I hope you hear that. But yet, how many of us struggle with believing it? How many of us go home and look ourselves in the mirror and we stop and we think, really? God can forgive that? How many of us look back at our past and we were like, oh yeah, God can forgive for this and forgive this and forgive this, but this I know he can't forgive. I've got good news for you. That's forgiven too. That this news of Jesus Christ, the fact that he doesn't just give us a clean slate, but he gives us his righteousness. It says, yes, even that is forgiven. When I was 17, I was driving down the street, and like a lot of 17-year-olds, I wasn't quite paying attention to the car in front of me. And that car made a very quick stop. Ever been there? I didn't quite make a very quick stop. And as I looked at the front of my crunched car and I looked at the six people who got out of the car in front of me and all went like this, ah! I thought, I'm going to die. My dad, you see, here's what you need to understand about my dad. Growing up in my home, my dad was a police officer. So I fully understood the law and the consequence for my sin. And I called, my dad answers, and I said, hey, can you put mom on the phone? Why, son, what's wrong? Well, I put a new hood ornament in your truck. It's crunched about another foot. I'll be right there. My dad comes flying up, right? And I'm like, I am going to die. I am bawling at this point, right? I mean, you got people in front of me that are getting looked at by ambulance. Everybody's looking at me going, what's wrong with this guy? I'm like, I got a dad who's a cop. And my dad walks up and he looks at me and he goes, I love you. And I'm waiting for it, man. I'm just waiting for it. Here it comes. He goes, we'll take care of this. It's not a big deal. And I was amazed that my dad in that moment showed me what forgiveness even looked like, because I was waiting for him to smack me upside the head and be like, you will never drive again. Don't you know how much this is going to cost me? No, we'll take care of it. I got you. It's okay. See, the reality is that often we hear we're forgiven, but we struggle with that. I hear I'm forgiven and I struggle with that. I can't speak for you. You might just take it home and be like, yeah, I'm forgiven. That's good. All right. Awesome. See, I need to hear that every Sunday. I need to hear that I'm forgiven every single Sunday. I need to take the Lord's Supper every single Sunday so that Jesus literally says, here's my body, here's my blood, taste and see the Lord is good and you are forgiven. You are made new. But can I confess something to you this morning? You know, I can get that, but the thing I really struggle with, what does that mean for others? Paul, I am unashamed of the good news. I'm going to tell everybody, you are forgiven. Yes and amen. And I'm good with that until my 9-year-old son does something that I don't want to forgive him for. Until my wife does something. What does that look like? What does it mean that they're forgiven too? You see, this good news is for them as well. That we receive this good news, but freely as we receive, Jesus calls us to freely give. And there are times that I get it with my family. It's easy to forgive my son and my wife, but my neighbor plays their music so loud sometimes. But that forgiveness is for them as well. You see, the reality is the forgiveness is for all people. Whether you like it or not, it is. And whether you like it or not, you're called, you and I are both called to go and make disciples, to go and proclaim this forgiveness everywhere we go. Not just to say you're forgiven, but actually treat people as forgiven. My friend Jose sat at the table with me and he looked at me and he said, Pastor, you tell me I'm forgiven, but the church never treats me like I am. You see, Jose did 13 years in prison. What does it mean to share with somebody who in our culture, in our day, in our life, in our everyday America doesn't feel forgiven because of how they're treated, that you too are forgiven? That's the reason why we're doing this job and resource fair at the end of the month. There's your little commercial break, right? This is the reason we're doing the job and resource fair. To let people know, you know what? God still loves you and cares about you. And some people, like, they don't even want to know what you know until they know how much you care. It's to say we do care. Because we want you to know that you are forgiven. That you are made new in Jesus. You see, oftentimes we're willing to pet the stray dog and love on the stray dog, but we don't want the stray dog to follow us home. But yet, even when that happens, even in our life, even when we mess up and we fail to share the forgiveness that Christ has died for all people, Jesus looks at you and says, I love you. You are mine. I forgive you for even that. Brothers and sisters, I have good news. Christ has taken away your sin and given you his righteousness. Through faith in Christ, when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin and selfishness. He sees Jesus. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Amen.